This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Me, Lizzie Cundy.
And me, Stephen Lang. Happy New Year indeed.
Happy New Year. It's going to be a real corker of a year this year.
Have you got
year.
That kind of feeling?
I say it every year, but this year is going to be the best year.
Well, it started off pretty well for you in Seychelles or wherever you were.
No, Barbados, actually. And yeah, no, it was very nice. I mean, you can't get anywhere nicer. It's my second home.
Oh, well, what a lovely place to have a second home.
Yes, with Bruno and his budgie smugglers and the rest of the gang.
Yeah, lots of pictures of Bruno Tognoli in his budgie smugglers, you in a bikini.
Well, the funniest thing, there was one picture of him saying Bruno with hunk, and it was my son pulling him out of the sea.
Did he appreciate being called a hunk, though?
My son was quite happy with it, actually. No, he said, actually, it's not a bad picture. Thank you, Daily Mail. Online. Thank you very much. He was quite happy.
And then today, you were on blimmin' Sky News.
Yes, on... there she is, Kate Burley. Yeah, the lovely Kate Burley. And it was all kicking off really because of this 10-year challenge. And some lady called me a narcissist, egotistical. You know,
and you said you're exactly right.
Oh, well, of course, ego. But you know, this 10-year challenge. I don't know what you think of it, but I mean, I think it's quite inspirational. I've seen some really inspirational posts where one of my friends had put on a lot of weight, and then 10 years later, she's fit as a fiddle. My other friend was so into drugs and now is clean and sober. And I thought, actually, Joe, it's quite, I think it's a great thing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And you've got to have a sense of humour. Piers Morgan had Brad Pitt next to him, 10 year challenge.
Yeah, I saw. I mean, yeah, I can see why people get a bit annoyed with it, because a lot of people just use it as a vanity thing, right? Like, look how hot I look now.
Well, I mean, Reese Witherspoon looks younger.
Yeah, she does.
10 years younger, though older. We aren't supposed to get old. I mean, I look better because I feel happier.
Right, and that makes a difference, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I say, look, I've got over quite a few things. Bit of a divorce. And various other things and heartache. And I've got through. And I think I feel better and stronger for
it. I'm a survivor. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I can see that. I can understand that. I haven't done it myself, though.
You haven't done what? The
10-year challenge.
Yeah, I know. Why?
I just...
Are you with or without beard?
I've had a beard for 16 years. Mm. Bar a couple of times and I've had a tash.
But you see, my friend did it, a 10-year challenge, but did it when it was a baby and then when 10 years old. So I didn't have to say it was the last 10 years.
That's a very good point.
So there. But I think it's a positive thing. I think it's quite inspirational.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's fair enough.
And they've looked at the coral reef, what it was 10 years ago and what it is now. There's some posts that hit your heart.
Well, those are a bit more, you know, yeah, let's learn something from what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of what's going on in the world...
Don't ask me anything personal.
I'm just going to ask you a little bit about Brexit, Lizzie.
Oh, gosh. That B word. Look, please, we're not getting a second vote. We had the referendum. I went on Jeremy Vine. I said this. Were you not listening?
No.
But I'm not happy with Theresa May. She needs to go.
Who's going to replace her?
My phone won't switch off, by the way, which is going off. I think... We need someone strong to have people's respect. I think David Davis.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Well, we'll end that conversation there. Jesus.
Well, I'm trying to think on my toes. I haven't thought of the next Prime Minister or is anyone else.
Fine. Well, I think they probably have, to be honest. I actually went down to Parliament the day of the vote to see what was going on.
Oh,
it's quite
you?
Interesting. Yeah. Just had a little wander around before I went to an event.
And what vibe did you pick up?
The vibe I picked up is that Remainers are all very attractive and Leave voters not so much. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh. All I'm worried about is the price of my house has gone down.
Well, that's your own fault.
Well, hold on a minute. I didn't know there was going to be this fiasco.
Everyone else did. I could have told you that.
Oh, stop it.
I think I did at the time, Lizzie.
Listen, at least Boris has got a new woman, hey?
Oh, good for Boris.
Wife number three, old Bojo.
Lucky thing. Well, we have a very good show.
This isn't a political show,
no,
I'm afraid.
It's not,
though I would love it to be at times.
I can't help but bring it up with you, Lizzie. It's just in my nature.
I know it is.
And you spoke about it with Jeremy Vine, so why not me?
I was actually on it with Jeremy. He agreed with me.
Well.
And people can't say get a second vote. You didn't know what you voted for. It's simple.
You didn't know what you voted for. You just said that.
No, leave. But I didn't know there was going to be this fiasco.
But that's exactly why. That was what you voted for, Lizzie. Anyway.
I didn't vote for Theresa May.
We have a lovely... We have a lovely, lovely lineup today.
Can I just tell you, I did Good Morning Britain and I was in the room with Alistair Campbell and he said to me, I really liked you, but now I don't. I said, why? And he goes, you're reading the Daily Mail. I went, oh, you can't say that. He went, oh, I just did. There's my little anecdote.
Well, good.
Of the
bloody
room.
Alistair Campbell, was it? That, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, you know, Spin Doctor.
Yeah.
To Blair.
So we have a lovely, lovely lineup of guests this evening. We've got the very handsome Ryan Cleary from Simon the Fitz and the Biolife.
Yeah.
Coming in to talk. And we also have the very gorgeous Laura Pradelska, who we just saw outside in the little green room, didn't we? She's absolutely gorgeous.
She is. I was like, wow, I want her dress.
Gorgeous actress. She's been in Game of Thrones, which is one of my favourite programmes. So I am going to have to bring that up.
Well, of course.
She played a character called Quaithe, and I have a couple of questions about that.
Oh, but you seem very...
I just love Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
I'm quite excited.
Do you remember an actor called Christian Vigt? that was in it. No.
No. Who was
okay.
he?
Just the guy that told me he was in Game of Thrones. I wasn't sure to believe him.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anyway, right. Carry on.
So, yeah, we've got those coming up on the show this evening.
Fantastic. Shall we play? Can we this time round, though, for this year, play tracks that I like?
I think I play quite a lot of tracks that you like, to be honest.
Can I tell you what I was going to do in that 10-year challenge? I was going to put a picture of me and Cher up.
You should have done.
I might
still
do.
There's still
it.
Time. Still time. How about a bit Kylie Minogue?
Yeah.
No one wants to stay at home. Nobody wants to be alone. When you come knocking, I'll be at your door. I don't ever want to stop. I'm gonna give it all I've got. And when they ask me, who could ask for more? Can't stand still, won't slow down. When I go out, I wanna go up dancing now. When I go out, I wanna go up dancing now. I wanna go out dancing. I wanna go out. I wanna go out dancing. This is where I wanna be with you, your arms wrapped around me, and fireworks reflecting in your eyes. This is how I wanna feel, the wine, the kiss, the music, feeling, getting down, riding all the highs. Can't stand still, won't slow. Say we did it all, the never ending of a perfect day. Can't stand still, won't slow.
Presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
You are listening to Nick Helm and
Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio by good old Jack.
My name's Jack Barry.
Because The Meg is coming out, isn't it?
Yes.
Which is the film about the giant shark. It's got the best line of any film I think ever made. Yeah. Jason Statham swimming around in his little, you know, like a one-man submarine, and a 50-foot megalodon swims over him, and he just goes, "It's a megalodon." Absolutely outstanding work there, Steve.
Every Friday,
Nick Helm and the Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
From 12 PM.
FUBAR Radio.
No rest for the wicked.
Hello, sorry.
You're chatting on.
I'm chatting to our gorgeous guest.
Yes, you are. The very, very lovely Ryan Cleary. Hello.
Hello. Lovely to meet you, Bob.
Nice to meet you too. Thanks so much for coming in.
Ryan, you had quite a year, haven't you?
It was a whirlwind of a year. It's been great. It started from last January, so this time last year, coming up to the end of last year, has been phenomenal. Yeah, had a lot going on.
Explain to us what that was.
Well, I was at my first show that I had ever been on television was Survivor the Fittest, which was on ITV2.
So how did you get cast for that? How did it all come about? Because our listeners, you know, there might be a few wanting to do it for next time.
Yeah, it was a really easy process. I got approached by the research team through Instagram. And it was quite a easy process. They messaged me and said, would you be interested in an up-and-coming show? Yeah. It's a new show. And when they mentioned fitness, I was like, right, I'm in. I'd been asked for other shows before, but I just really kind of thought, I love my fitness. I think I could do this. And it was in South Africa. Never been.
Nice one.
I was sold, yeah. So it, literally that was the process, was that you then go to ITV, you interview at one level. If you pass that interview, it's another level, and so on. And then before you know it, I was on the plane. I was on the way there.
Yeah. Oh, they fell in love with you. And so did everyone else. Because yeah, I remember you walking and going, wow, he should be at Nev's. No, I actually did. I thought he's got potential. I remember saying you're a good looking boy, very fit.
Thank you.
But you had a nice way about you.
Thank you so much. It was the first time I didn't know, because you do go on these on TV and you don't know, you don't have a clue. You can only be yourself, and that's what I set out to be.
You don't know how you're going to get edited and what people are going to say. Yeah. Or, you're very popular this evening,
I'm
Lizzie.
Sorry, my phone won't switch off. I'm just switching it off. I'm so sorry. Yes.
It's good. It was a great experience. It was really fun. It was abroad. I met some amazing people. And I actually learned a lot about myself. I came out, my sexuality was something that I didn't really talk about.
Yeah.
But in the
were
show.
You nervous about coming out about it? Or what? Because yeah. What did you think? Were you going to pretend to be just straight or just go along?
I was going to play. I thought, you know what? I'll play it fully straight, not tell anyone that I'm into guys as well. But then I thought, I'm not doing myself any justice or anyone else that might be watching that's in my position. And I'm very fortunate to get this opportunity to be on television. So why not be real with it and be authentic?
Oh, good for you. Yeah, that was brave.
It was. It was a bit nervous. I won't lie. I had sweaty palms when it came to it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Okay. What did the producers say when you said, right, this is what I'm going to say? Were they like, go for it? Encouraging? Well,
the interesting thing was the producers... I only told them at the last stage before going into the show. So we were still in the UK. But they said, is there anything? Because they take your phone from you, anyone that you know that's been on a reality show.
Taking your phone.
No phone, no contact with any family members, any friends. So you're like, they're like, well, if there's anything that can come out about you, tell us now.
It's
like,
right. Where to start?
How long have you got? All right, we're going to miss the flight. We are going to miss the flight.
Well, that's what I was like, right, you know, I've got nothing that I'm ashamed of, nothing that I'm worried about, but this could come out and there's potential people that know me that don't know about my sexuality. So I thought it's only fair that I share this, because if it goes into the media, you just don't know what's going to come out or who's going to say. So it's better to just have everything on the table, own it, say this is who I am. You know, you're going on public television, so in a sense...
Yeah, it's best.
It's best, because people feel like they're a part of you, so you've got to give your real self. And I just thought, you know what, I'll do it for other people, not only myself. So that, after having the conversation with the producers, it was like, right, well, you know, if you feel comfortable, they didn't push me into it, they didn't tell me I've got to do it. It was a decision that I made, and I kind of like, I'm going to own it. This is who I am. So I did it.
And that probably led to you being in another TV show you were on, The Bylife.
Yeah, yeah.
With Courtney Axe.
Oh, she's amazing.
What was that experience like? I know you got to, was it Barcelona it was filmed?
Barcelona,
in?
Yeah.
That was pretty nice.
It was lovely. 6 weeks, a villa.
Lovely.
Other hot singles, men, women. Swimming pool.
So what was your story in it, for anyone that didn't see it?
So my story was that it was my first time being around other people that are bisexual or questioning or, you know, in that kind of realm that I'm in. Obviously, with Survival of the Fittest, it was mainly heterosexual. I was the only person that was attracted to the same sex and the opposite sex. So this was kind of like-minded people questioning or that have been with the same sex. So I was like, okay, this seems a little bit more... You know, I can mingle. I can be anywhere and fit in. But this felt like, all right, I'm with, for the first time, other people that are like-minded. So my journey was to go on dates. So the first day that I get there, they're like, Ryan, you're going on a surprise date. But I don't know whether that's male, female. So I'm walking up to my date.
Oh, this is mad.
That is weird. Not knowing what to expect.
Yeah.
What were you feeling? Were you thinking, oh.
I was like, right, who's this going to, like, how am I? Because... Your approach, it sounds silly, but I treat men and women the same, but it's kind of like when you're going on a date and it's like it's televised as well, and you are being your true self, but you're going on a blind date.
It's hard having a date televised. I had that. It's hard. You're not really yourself because you've got cameras and you know cameras are there, isn't it? It's tough.
So you have a gin and tonic and then you're like,
makes things a little easier.
Lose it up a little bit, but it was fun experience. I'd do it again. I'd do it all over again.
Did you meet anyone you're interested in there?
I made connections, but not anyone that I would say I wanted to like pursue a relationship with.
Okay. What was that first date? Was that with a
beautiful blonde bombshell called Serena?
Oh, wow.
She was gorgeous. She was an air hostess. Well, is an air hostess. Lovely girl, beautiful girl. And we really got on, but I didn't know how the show was going to be, so I didn't know if I go on a second date, whether I've got to kind of move her in the villa. It's not like with Love Island, you know that like they're coming in, you're coupled up.
Someone's going to get kicked out or something. Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, we didn't have that.
Oh, okay.
So it's a different setting, but we got on really well, and she was lovely, and we went to it was one date that we had that was by the sea, and then there was one on a rooftop bar. So we had some really good times. It was fun.
I mean, I'm just saying what people say. Is it set up? Is it all staged? Because, you know, when you watch it, it kind of looks so perfectly done. I know there's lots of stopping and starting with filming, but what would you say in response to that?
I'd say, you know, it's from an authentic place. They won't make you do anything that you don't want to do. Like, if things stopped, it's because someone might have walked past, but you were saying that anyway. You don't really get cued on what to say. So, especially with the bylife, because it was kind of like, I think what they wanted to do was educate people and just give people a window into how bisexual people date.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like a competition. There was no money involved. There was no prize fund. So it was just having a window and seeing, okay, so he dates men and women. Does that make him any different to how a straight person dates or how a gay person dates? And it just let everyone have a look into that.
So it was a good thing.
It was great. I think it really took away, because there's a lot of stigma about bisexual people, greedy.
They're greedy.
Well, people just don't believe it. Right?
They don't believe it. Mm. Yeah, they think you're gay and you're in the closet, or, you know, there's never
you're straight and pretending.
Straight and pretending just because it's in fashion, you know. Yeah.
You can't win. You can't win. Gotta win. Yeah, I get that. Wow. So it's a brave thing to do. What were your family like? Were they...
Family was so supportive. My mum and my brother had known before, but publicly in terms of people at work or, you know, previous girls that I knew or friends of friends, people in certain circles just didn't know that. It wasn't something that I'd just come out and say necessarily.
Yeah.
And so for some people it was like they didn't know, but when they found out, it was like, well, we see you literally the same way. We're shocked. Some people were shocked, but they didn't change the way that they treated me.
That's good.
And what were you doing before you did the reality stuff?
So before I'd done reality stuff, I was a bodyguard.
Oh, okay.
So
wasn't expecting you to say that.
So I've still got my bodyguarding license. So I used to do, like, sometimes, you know, for events, artists would come over, I'd look after them. I'd do security for, you know, places like Shoreditch House and members' clubs. And then I'd done Tiffany.
Oh, handy to know.
Oh, yeah. If you need
get a few friends in the back door. Take your number.
I got you.
Yeah. But what would your comments be like to someone like India Willoughby has been on our show? I know he's a friend of the show, but was quite harsh on Courtney. You know, I don't know if you saw on the Celebrity Big Brother.
What was the actual comments that was made? Can I a brief of it just so I can...
Well, she was kind of... she's transgender, and she was saying at one point that she thought that Courtney... It made her feel very uncomfortable because it felt like it was... taking the piss, basically, didn't it, out of her gender issues and things. Obviously, Courtney is a real big gender advocate.
Yeah, she is.
So I think she was kind of taken back by that, wasn't she? Like,
yes, because India has had the whole... What's the word?
Well, yeah, so India's had the operation, yeah, right. Whereas Courtney is obviously a drag queen.
Yeah. I feel that everything that Courtney's done and from what I've met of Courtney, and I feel that Courtney is an advocate for the LGBTQ+ community. I feel that, you know, within the LGBTQ+ community, there's always going to be some friction somewhere, but I do feel that Courtney's always got stuff coming from a good place. She's got a good heart, very supportive, and I feel that I don't feel like she would do anything intentionally to hurt anyone. From the, because you know, spending 6 weeks out there in Barcelona, she did play a big part in our journeys there. You know, if we needed advice, or you know, I just find Courtney Shane to be an amazing person. So I don't think she would have done that intentionally to upset India.
I agree. Right?
Yeah, and I think Courtney, I mean, as you say,
she's fun. Yeah,
she's good fun. Yeah, she is so, isn't she? She's had her on the show, but you think, you know, she did a good thing. She was genuine.
Absolutely, I feel that even the show, the way that the show represented the bisexual community was great. I feel that Courtney's just very involved with LGBT issues, LGBTQ plus issues, and she's got a very positive spin on things, and she's doing the right thing within the community.
And yeah, she speaks so well, doesn't she? She speaks.
She's very intelligent.
I mean, yeah, very bright. Yeah. So
She put Anne Widdecombe to rights. I mean,
yeah. Yeah,
in the most, you know, in a very good way,
compassionate way. It wasn't an attack on her. It was questioning why she thinks those things and making her actually think about the way that she thinks.
And I think that's something that needs to be done. Sometimes we can shout, we can argue, we can get into Twitter spats, or we can get into, you know, Instagram memes and posts. But if you can just get your point across in a good way. Yeah. And make someone think about their actions, then I think she's a great advocate.
Yeah.
So what about your love life now? Because you have described it in the past as a bit, well, hectic, wild.
Yeah, my love life now. I'm actually, I'm with someone now, which is not on my Instagram. It's kind of like in the background. But I am. I'm with a guy right now, and he's amazing, and it's new and it's fresh, but it's great because I have spent a lot of time where I have been dating and I have been, you know, having fun and been a bit wild. And
yeah,
it's nice to finally meet someone and you can kind of take a backseat on that and you can do stuff together, plan stuff together. So it's right now, my love life is quite stable. Right now.
Who knows what may happen?
But do you find girls either kind of more loving in some ways or different to guys, or guys can play more games? I just think, is there a difference?
With girls, they are, but guys are emotional as well. So I couldn't just say that a woman, I find that both sexes have very similarities. But obviously when I'm dating a girl, I play that role more of, you know, I'm looking after you. And I'm not saying that a guy won't do that for me or we won't do that for each other, but that I take that role with a girl. I feel like I want to take care of her. So I kind of, I guess that maybe that's just a traditional thing.
Protective kind of.
Yeah, and that's how I get. But with a guy, it's kind of like,
I think there's less rules actually. Like when you're in a gay relationship, it's like you get have less of that. Who's paying for dinner or like those kind of? Do you know what I mean? Which is like a real traditional thing. I'm not paying.
I was going to say.
No, but I've always split. I've always, honestly, it's just always been the way it's been.
Dutch, go Dutch.
Yeah, because well, you know, I've been gay my whole life. That's just how it works.
I'm going to take the whole thing.
Yeah, of course.
Oi. Did you say you've left your card? Did you leave your card at home?
Yeah. Oh, I can't find my wallet.
Doesn't carry cash.
No, but seriously, and I think that's the difference, right? Like, you can kind of set your own rules in a way, and you don't feel pressured into leading it because that's the way it should be.
Yeah, and it just feels like, you know, we with who I'm with at the moment, we, you know, we get on, we do the same things, we'll go to the pictures, go to cinemas, we'll check up on each other, and communication's good. Attractions there, you know, and it's just great. You know, we're both into each other. It's not like one's into one more than the other.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite balanced, so it's good.
Now I'm going to ask you this. Yeah, sounds good.
Got a brother. Well, good for you.
Yeah, sure. I've got a twin.
You do.
What I'm for,
well,
yeah.
You? Okay. Oh, look. And you went on BBC Two. This is right, and said that reality stars are. It's quite compared to politicians, is that right, as role models?
Yeah, so there was, I was on BBC Two News with a politician she's a Labour MP, and she's lovely, but they put us on Victoria Derbyshire show, and we was trying to, what the topic was, is who's more of a role model in society these days? Is it someone in politics, or is it someone on reality television, i.e. Love Island, you know, myself or any other reality star? And the answer is, I'd say definitely, you know, through Instagram, through radio, through... You don't see many politicians that will come on radio or will get involved with the younger generation. And I think the younger generation do look up to reality stars and they do follow the lead of them. I mean, you've only got to look at, like, influencers. Why are they called influencers? They influence the people that follow them to either buy a product or to get healthy or to, you know, to wear the chain. So the answer is, yeah, they need to reach out and use influencers in a positive way, because I don't think that people are going to tune into, they're not going to rush home from school, kids, and be like, I'm going to watch the House
Question
of Commons.
Time.
Question time.
Question
time.
Which is a shame.
Which is, yeah, I love that. For sure. But do you think you could go into politics? I mean, if that's the case, you could possibly...
I'll give it a go. I'll give anything a go, me.
How much you paying?
Yeah.
You give anything a go. No, so what are your... I mean, would you do another reality show? Would you love to do... Would you do Love Island? If they, you know, mixed it up a bit.
You know, with Love Island, I would never say no. I think it's an amazing show. I enjoy watching it. I think it needs, it would have to be inclusive of, you know, being bisexual.
Yes.
You know, could they balance that out? I don't know. I'm not the producers, but I think it's important because I honestly have had the most heartfelt messages. And a story that I'll share with you yesterday, I was in the gym and this guy came over to me. I'm not going to say his name because I don't know what his situation is with where he is telling people, but he's like, what you did on Survivor of the Fittest, he said, honestly, and this was his words, not mine, and it really took me back because I wasn't expecting it, but it was nice to hear. But it was just like, wow. He said that when I went came out on there, he said at the time he was explaining to his dad, who's of Jamaican heritage, about himself, and he was a bit nervous and stuff like that, and he said, you know what, you made it so much easier. He said, you know how many young black lives you may have helped, he said, because the way I was feeling at the time and what I saw from you really shone like a beacon of light to hope that, you know, I can be represented and feel comfortable about doing it. He said that made me want to go and just tell my friends that I've been friends with for, like, you know, a long time, and they don't know who I really am. They only know the mask.
Yeah, exactly.
So, he said that it really helped him and that I'd done a massive thing and it had really helped him, and it just felt really rewarding.
Yeah, it felt so nice.
Now, I'm going to tell you a little something, Ryan, because the reason why I know you, because I have a very close friend who's in the sports world, who is actually, I won't obviously name him, but he's bisexual.
Name him.
But he said, that really helped when you came out. Yeah, and he said, but because it's such a, you know, male chauvinist kind of sport.
Agreed.
In a way, and they feel there aren't many that have been able to come out. You know, we've had... the Welsh rugby player,
Gareth Thomas,
they came out. But, you know, it's very tough in sport.
Really tough. It's so tough. Football, rugby, all the sports. You're right, Lizzie. It's kind of something that is so kind of taboo. Or it's like we. And to me, I don't get it, because they could help so many people if they just. And but I understand in a way. It takes a lot of courage, a lot of confidence. And they might, you know,
it's not
scared.
The right time, and, you know, they have to wait until they're comfortable with it, right? I think that's the key.
That's key, because it's when you feel right, isn't it? And I think from maybe your own experiences, I know from mine, it was when I was ready, and my friends could be like, oh, but that person might not care, but it was when I felt ready to do it.
Yeah.
And that helped me. So, but I'm glad that it has a wave effect where you do become comfortable with yourself, and someone might be watching, you might be a role model to someone, and it makes them feel more comfortable as well.
That's a really nice side effect of going on the telly.
Yeah, it ripples.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
It's a good thing, and I think you're going to do really well.
Thank you, Lizzie.
Well, thanks so much for
coming
on.
You're getting signed up by a big top model agency. Any minute you're going to get a call as soon as you leave the building.
Thank you so much.
Can't lose.
Well, it's lovely to meet you.
And you. Thank you for having me here.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
How about a track? Dua Lipa?
Yeah, go on. Yeah, I like that one.
I love that.
You call me all friendly, telling me how much you miss me. That's funny, I guess you've heard my songs. Well, I'm too busy for your business. Go find a girl who wants to listen. Cause if you think I was born yesterday, you have got me wrong. So I cut you off, I don't need your love. Cause I already cried enough, I've been done. I've been moving on since we said goodbye. I cut you off, I don't need your love, so you can try all you want. Your time is up, I'll tell you why. You say I'm sorry, but it's too late now. So say then, get gone, shut up. Cause if you think I care about you now, well boy, I don't give a fuck.
I remember that weekend when my best friend caught you creeping. You blamed it all on the alcohol. So I made my decision, cause you made your bed, sleep in it. Play the victim and switch your position. I'm through, I'm done. So I cut you off, I don't need your love, cause I already cried enough. I've been done, I've been moving on since we said goodbye. I cut you off, I don't need your love, so you can try all you want. Your time is up, I'll tell you why.
Nico's here.
Yeah, my goal is to just make a whole crowd of people sing about eating butt.
Is this your whole career just come up to this moment?
Yeah. Yes.
So what are you going to do now that you've got people saying that?
I'm retiring.
Yes.
I'm moving to Florida.
Yes.
And I'm going to start golfing.
Get some sliders.
Yeah, I'm going to buy about 80,000 dildos.
Yes.
And live in Florida.
And just have a wall-to-wall room where they're just on the wall.
Yeah. And I'll have, like, one of those ladders that they have in a library.
Exactly that. Yeah. Exactly that. So you can just swish across the room.
Every Thursday.
Harriet Rose.
From 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
What a lovely guy.
Oh, what a nice guy. I love him.
Yeah, very sweet. And he's got a twin, so I think we need to want to know him a bit better.
Yeah, I saw your eyes light up when you saw your twin.
We have our next guest in the studio right now. Hello, Laura Podelska.
Hello, and
gorgeous
thank you for
actress.
Having me on.
Thank you so much for coming
thank
in.
I'm loving your dress. I have a bit of dress envy.
Thank you. It's Della Valle. Mm. I hope I say it right. I think it's Della Valle or something.
It's very sexy, whatever it is.
But you
I
both
love
look
it.
Very lovely too. Oh, so thank you for having me on today.
I'm rocking it's a very charm. Casual look this evening. To
I
be
like
fair.
How you're rubbing your leg when you're saying
yes,
it.
Yes, casual. Well, I come from Sky News, so I had to be a bit covered.
I don't know if you can call that covered, Lizzie, but we'll run with it anyway.
But so good to see you.
Good to see you, Lizzie. Thank you for having me.
And what a busy girl you are.
A little busy at the moment, but that's good for me. It keeps me out of trouble. So.
I think that's the best way to look at it, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's definitely the upside, yeah.
I think I'm personally most excited about meeting you because you play a character in Game of Thrones called Quaithe. Kay.
That's okay.
And she had a kind of pivotal role in an episode, didn't she, early on?
Yes.
Explaining a bit about the Mother of Dragons.
Yes.
What was that experience like? It must have been a while ago for you now, but were you aware what you were getting into when you signed up to it?
The show is so massive.
Yeah, I really was. I actually, to be honest, it's the best thing that ever happened in my career.
Really?
I will never forget it, and it's changed my life really in so many ways. And I remember every day of shooting, and it'll always stay with me. And it was just incredible to be there. And she is a really cool character, and everyone on the show, and we're also friends the people that I met on the show, and it's life changing. And so in every way I remember it.
Were you filming abroad?
Yeah, I was filming in Croatia.
Lovely.
Which is really beautiful, in Dubrovnik. And it's a really lovely atmosphere because obviously it's sunny and it's warm and everyone's in costume and it's such a big production and you're just a part of something really magical.
Yeah, I bet.
And it's been the biggest thing that's ever happened to me in my career.
The show is just globally such a success. I mean, what do you do when you first get that call that you've got the part in Game of Thrones? I mean, what is that like?
So I'm not new at this. It's not my first time at the radio. I've been an actress for a long, long, long time. So I have been waiting for that call for...
Yes, about time!
A few decades. So I started when I was very young, just a child. I auditioned for it. It was a really good shot because I had just signed with a brand new agent and she said, we've got an audition for you, it's Game of Thrones. And that's the first audition they sent me out on. And I thought, are we allowed to curse on here?
Of course you are.
I thought, oh, fuck. Better not mess this up because this is really
this is a big
huge
opportunity,
and I'm going to be so dropped if I, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
but I've got a new agent. I've got something to prove.
I didn't even think of booking it, but at least to get like a good feedback. Mm-hmm. So,
That's a big role. So I just went in.
It was a wonderful guy, Robert Stern, who was auditioning me. He works with Nina Stern. Robert Stern. He works with Nina Gold, and he was very kind. And I walked out and I just hadn't, just like, you know how it is. You walk in, you're just like, you just don't know. I've walked into so many auditions and come out and went like, I got this. And never heard again. Never. And then I walked in and I thought I'd mess it up. And then you get it. It's just one of those, you know how it is. So I didn't hear from them for 2 weeks. So I didn't really.
Did you try not think about it, or did you just say, okay, I've got to put it to the back of my mind?
Think about it 24 hours a day. I think about every audition I go to. I'm not one of those people that just doesn't care.
Can move on.
I am so uncool about this kind of shit.
See, I stick dolls in other people that are going up the bar, something like that. Something's going to happen.
That's the best way.
That's the best way. Voodoo dances.
But it's quite...
It works.
Rain dances.
No, I do remember because I was living actually up the road here. I was living in Angel. And I remember getting the call and it's funny because my agent said, so there is an offer for you to be in Game of Thrones now. Would you be interested in taking it? And I went, sorry.
What was your response?
I said, what? There's an offer. That, for me, it's like, wait, this is changing your life.
Yeah.
And now everything will change. And I said, yes, I would very much like to accept that offer. And
whatever it may be. I don't care.
And say yes. I didn't. That's really all. Yeah. And then on, you know, I screamed and then I called my other half. He was my fiancé at the time. Yeah, I called him and I'm married. And
fantastic.
I called my best friend Josh. And then my mom and my dad. And then I tweeted about it. And then I was told to
get it down on...
the dumbest person in the world and to take this tweet down immediately.
Yeah,
because
I cool.
Did anyone pick up?
Yeah, it got picked up. And
did you get told off?
No, I didn't, because I think once you get I got lucky. I think it just
right,
I was cast at that point, but it was a good lesson.
And the character has a very distinctive face mask on the whole time.
Does.
So basically all you can see is your eyes.
My eyes.
Do a lot of acting through your eyes. You look very mystical and magical to it. Was it quite odd? This is a very technical question, so I'm sorry.
Please.
With your speech, when you're speaking, there's a metal mask in front of your mouth.
Well, there is a mouthpiece.
So was there?
Yes, there was. And it was a very thin... custom-made mask that they created with my head there, actually, costume department. So it was a quite long, thought-out process.
So you could speak normally when
I could speak normally. You can completely hear me, and I could see, I could breathe, and there was a there was an opening at my mouth, so I could have a straw and drink because it was very warm. We were filming in the summer, and so yeah, it was completely fine. I could have worn that mask forever.
They didn't let you keep it.
I would love to.
what a role,
obviously,
though.
Yeah. So
congratulations. And
thank you,
Lizzie.
Got
married after, did you? Did you get married during Game of Thrones or after?
No, I got married after.
He was like, God, I've got to get this woman. She's got to be huge.
No, do you know? I would have been happy to stay engaged. I probably shouldn't say this on the radio, but we're not even legally married. We just had a wedding. We haven't come around, but we want to.
Okay.
So there's still a party out there. That was really just another
potential
excuse to
have
a party.
I know a priest and I know a wedding party. I'll sort it all.
Did you have a big wedding?
Well, when I got no longer
big
married.
Divorce.
Big divorce I had. But yeah, the wedding was big.
Okay.
And then I did the renewed our vows, which was the kiss of death. Don't do it. anyway.
How much time was in between?
17 years. So quite a while. Yeah, I was married a long time.
Wow.
But divorce was great too.
It all worked out quite well
you. All worked out.
You're doing amazing.
We're doing fine.
And with something like Game of Thrones, obviously so big and secretive, do you literally just get, when you get the script, get your part and that's it? So you don't know what else is going on in there?
Yes. No, I have no idea. You get your part, you sign a really ironclad NDA and...
don't say a word until it comes
out. And you try not get drunk and tell your friends, you know?
Don't tweet.
But never tweet drunk. Anyway, I'm still learning. So, you sign a really ironclad.
And how has the show helped you in your acting career? Because do you go in and people go, respect Game of Thrones? Is there a...
I hope so. Obviously, I go to auditions. I'm in a play now. I work hard. I've got a radio show as well. I sometimes work every day and sometimes I don't work. Mm-hmm. And that's just the reality of an actor. And so, yes, Game of Thrones has completely changed everything. Has it magically propelled me into a stratosphere? In my own little world, yes. In maybe someone else's eyes, no. But for me, I'm in a good place. I'm right where I'm meant to be.
And what are you working on at the moment?
So we're opening a play. We're actually transferring it. It was really successful. It was at the Talbot Theatre. Now it's transferring into the heart of the West End.
Gorgeous.
To a small venue, beautiful venue. It's part of the Leicester Square Theatre. So you guys must come, please.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
Please, please, please. And... it is, it's a man and a woman. It's myself, and I'm not sure I'm allowed to announce my co-star just yet because he was just literally cast yesterday.
Okay.
But
hold tight on that.
But he's amazing, and it's just the two of us, and it's a lovely venue. It's about, I think, 80 people fit in, and it'll be really nice.
What's the story?
It's the story of a man and a woman. I'm just looking at Lizzie. A man and a woman and the trials and tribulations of marriage.
Oh, okay.
I think I should definitely come to this opening night.
You might learn something.
It's quite real. No, right? It's quite real. It's funny. It's sad. It's entertaining. It's quick. And it's a beautiful little venue. You can have a nice glass of wine and it's chill. It starts at 8. It finishes at 9. So in and out. And
I like the sound of this theatre.
Yeah, so it's a very modern, very real play.
And what's the name of the play?
It's called A Small House at the Edge of the World.
Oh, okay.
I've been on that edge a few times.
Yes, me too. I have been on the edge.
Oh, that sounds incredible. I have to ask you, my son is at Art's Head.
Yes.
And wants to be
You have a son at Art's Head?
I have a
How
son.
How can you have a grown son?
Big boy, yes, 23.
Good question.
I don't believe you. Are you serious?
Yes. you know, Josh.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. But he...
You look...
Oh, thank you.
We will talk after.
I love you.
we shall speak after.
So... what advice would you give to an up-and-coming actor? Because we have lots listening in. Mm-hmm. And because it is a tough profession, isn't it?
You know, stick with it. Mm. Absolutely. And just, I think humility is the key for me. I have absolutely no problem auditioning for small plays, just as I love auditioning for big Netflix shows. It's all the same. Work is work. Mm-hmm. Work hard, be the first to come in, the last to leave. Be humble, be kind, and be professional. And that's really... It took me a long time to learn that. I didn't know that in my 20s because I moved to LA when I was 18 and I just thought, oh, it's just,
it'll all just happen.
It's
yeah.
just going to happen. And fall. And it really didn't. Yeah, it took a long time. So that would my advice be professional, be kind. And just in general, I think you guys know that because you're both in the industry. It just goes a long way.
I think being nice, being kind and nice manners, actually does really.
Oddly enough. Instilled manners, even if you think they're the biggest... in the world, just be polite.
I completely agree.
And my first modelling job was with Philip Green. That's another story. I'll save that for my book. But let me tell you, you've got to be polite as well as smart. Well, it all will be revealed. But I tell you what, you're very true. You've got to be humble and take a few things on the chin.
Yeah, absolutely. And also just be you and just understand that this is... that also you're very replaceable, you know. But I think your son, who's obviously gorgeous, and I can't believe he's 23, that you were a 23-year-old, you must have been a teen bride.
Of course.
And I would just say, first of all, Arts Ed is one of the best schools. So he's nearly there anyway.
Oh,
I mean, it's one of the, as you know, the most incredibly successful people.
I was impressed when I went there because he did a performance. I was like,
what's it like seeing your son?
Well, it's rather like Hugh Grant. I don't know if that worried me or not. He was very good. No, it was good. No, it was very good. I was very proud. Oh. But, that's good advice. But obviously, there's a lot of rejection. You've got to get used to that. But you get that in all walks of life.
As a model, it's the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been through it.
Yes, I have.
Many a casting call.
I remember one saying, you may not be the prettiest, but you've got a great personality.
Thank you.
That's a compliment.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, darling. Anyway.
That's very kind.
So, exciting stuff. We've got the play. Is there anything you'd love to be featured in? Is there any... Oh, and would you ever do reality? Because does that go against you as a...
I probably wouldn't. Yeah. I think I'm not. I think I'm not made out for that.
No.
If I'm honest, I don't know. I think it's incredible to watch. Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge reality TV fan. I watch all of the Housewives, all of the Kardashians. I love watching it. I don't think I don't have the stamina. And if I'm honest, I would take it really personal.
Yeah.
If someone was mean, I don't think I'm
thick skin.
Skin. I just don't think I have that. I even disable the comments on my Instagram because I can't take the bad. I'm just not made. I mean, getting rejected from an audition, I just need to work harder and you know. But
it's different.
Your personality being judged, that's quite tough, you know.
Yeah,
definitely. And it takes balls to be on a reality TV show. I don't think I would have it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Was there any show you'd love to be in?
Yes. Obviously, I would love to play a lawyer in any kind of Netflix show. So that would be the dream. Mm-hmm. And there's a show called Fauda on Netflix I'd love to be in. Anything, Law and Order, anything really that has substance,
that's
meaty, gritty. I'm actually quite open to anything. I'm really happy to do this play. It's a really good play. It's a meaty role.
We're going to come and see this.
Please do. Yeah. And then we'll have a glass of wine afterwards.
Sounds good.
You sold it to me, darling.
On moi.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate
it.
And
it's so
really
good to see you.
Thank you.
And we're all going to come and see your play.
Yay.
I can't wait.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
I should have stayed with you last night. Instead of going out to find trouble, that's just trouble. I think I run away sometimes. Whenever I get too vulnerable, that's not your fault. See, I wanna stay the whole night.
is too real. And every time I feel like sabotaging, I start running. And every time I push away, I really wanna say that I'm sorry, but I say nothing. I wanna stay the whole night.
Rita Ora.
Yeah, because it's a bit, that song wants with me. I never let anyone in. I was trying to get into the words there.
Oh, have you got someone you've let into your heart now then, Lizzie?
Oh, what if I tell you on my radio? All over the Daily Mail tomorrow morning.
That's
no,
a fair
point. No, everything's good. In the hood.
Did you meet anyone in Barbados?
Why do you keep saying Bermuda? Bermuda Triangle makes people disappear. No.
Oh.
No, I didn't meet anyone. I was with Bruno. I married Bruno on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
No, we... No, it was great fun. I was with my boys.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't out trying to date anyone on my holiday.
I'm pretty much the same at the minute because I am being a sober Sally.
Yeah. What's all this dry January? Are you vegan as well?
Veggie.
Oh.
But I've been veggie for nearly four years, Lizzie, so that's not new.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm 17 days in.
Oh!
Sober. I've got my lime and soda in front of me.
And can I tell you, you're looking very fit, and there is a reason why you're looking so fit, isn't there?
Thanks. You're very kind, Lizzie. Yes, I'm running a 10K!
Wow!
In 3 weeks. 2 weeks! Oh, Christ, I'm looking... 2 weeks? 3rd of
Seriously?
February. Shit, I really need to do more training. I'm running cancer research through London called the Winter Run.
That is quite incredible.
Please sponsor me.
I will sponsor you. I'll put it all on my Twitter and I'll send it to all my rich friends.
That's what
they
I want.
They are slowly dying off though because of Brexit, but I will send you them. Send the link.
Well, if you can make me put it in their wills then maybe.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. It's for cancer. And we've all been touched by cancer somewhere.
Well, you know, my mum's currently battling breast cancer. My granddad died of leukemia when I was younger. So, yeah, everyone's got some kind of relation to it.
And I think we should all support it and fight it together. So let's do it.
I
agree. Will sponsor you.
Thanks,
and I will
Lizzie.
Ask my dearest and nearest friends.
Thanks. I'd like £100 from Bruno Tognelli.
But jeepers, you're joking. He might give you his budgie smugglers. There was not a budgie in there. Let me tell you, it was a full turkey. It was huge.
Turkey,
I was like, what is in
turkey
there?
Turkey neck.
I was like, what is that?
What a treat. Well, anyway, thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah.
Lovely show.
It's
nice to be back.
It's good to be back, everyone. Happy New Year. 2019 is going to be immense.
Indeed. Until next weekend. Next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
I will always remember the day you kissed my lips, light as a feather. And it went just like this. No, it's never been better than the summer of 2002. We were only 11, but acting like grown-ups, like we are in the present. Drinking from plastic cups, singing love is forever and never.
Well, I guess that was true. Say, oops, I got it. Na-na-na, problem singing ba-ba-ba. Hold up, if you wanna go and take a ride with me, better hit me, baby, one more time. Paint a picture for you and me on the days when we were young. Singing at the top of both our lungs. Now we're under the covers. Fast forward to 18, we are more than lovers. Yeah, we
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.